Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into Warriors Weekly, our podcast for 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson, as always, joined by Gary St. Jean. And Saint, the Warriors playing a little bit better throughout the last week. As we record this podcast, the Warriors are set to take on the Utah Jazz and then the Indiana Pacers at Chase Center before heading out on a week and a half road trip to the East Coast. But Warriors don't have the wins to show for it, but have played much better really the last three games against Denver, Orlando, where they did get a win and had a heck of an opportunity to win a game in Portland against a Blazers team that has been disappointing and ravaged by injuries as well. But Saint, just kind of the general takeaways from the last three games and where maybe the Warriors have turned a little bit of a corner compared to where they were during the long losing streak.
Well, John, you know, playing Denver, you know, they've been ravaged by injuries, but they're still one of the top three teams in the West. And they had played the night before. They were kind of sloshing through the game, and they needed a 40-point third quarter to get the job done. But I thought the Warriors really played good basketball. They were really solid on both ends of the floor, built a significant lead at one time up about 15 or 20 points. A lot of guys, and you know what? When you're moving the ball on offense the way they were, there's a correlation to your defense. And I thought the defense has been more together. You know, we're all holding on to the rope. We're there for each other. And we're not left on an island with an isolation. And it really was a really good effort to get the win against Orlando. And a contrast of styles where the Warriors really move the basketball and are not that big. Orlando is going to be 7 in the East in the playoffs. They depend upon their size. They're really big. And they'll just take you one-on-one in an isolation game and try to handle you at the rim with shot blocking. You know, I really like their coach, Steve Clifford, and he's doing what he thinks is best for them to win, but it's a big contrast in style. And, you know, then we get to the last game and up in Portland, and some performance by Dame Lillard. Wow. I hope all the Bay Area fans and Warrior fans and also the Oakland people that are fans of him got to see the game because he was spectacular. But let's talk about the Warriors' effort. Really terrific. Alec Burks really had an outstanding game. I thought the rookies played well. And, it was a game where you had shots to win. You're in the lead in overtime. You had a chance in regulation. You're right there. You're taking charge of the game. Just unable to make that end-of-the-game play to seal the deal. And that's where a Steph Curry and a Klay Thompson and in the past Kevin Durant come to the forefront. You don't have those guys, and it's not a knock on what these guys are doing. I love their energy, their enthusiasm, and their willingness to play together. So now you play Utah tonight, John, and you can argue that this is the hottest team in the NBA. So it's a tough stretch of games. Indiana comes in, and they're one of the top 4 or 5 in the East. They come in on Friday, so before you head east, these are two tough ones.
Yeah, and Saint, I want to ask you about Eric Paschal in just a minute, but I also wanted to touch on Burks, who was terrific, and he's playing and shooting the ball a little bit better now. How much, as you know, the league sort of looks at Alec Burks as a potential option and somebody they would want to seek in a trade with the Warriors as we get closer to the deadline, how much of it is game to game in your mind, or is he hot at the time or not, or is he such a veteran that none of that matters, and any team is thinking they know what they're going to get from Alec Burks regardless?
Well, you go back to his Utah days, John, and you know I like to see how he's received when the Warriors have gone there. Teammates, Utah organization, fans, embrace him. And that tells you that he's a quality guy. And then he makes the statement this week that, boy, he'd love to stay and play with the Warriors. You know, this has been a breath of fresh air to watch a veteran like this get a chance to play and just jump all over it, just capitalize on the opportunity highlighted by this game, the last game up in Portland. John, he's doing things that, I'll be honest with you, I didn't have in my scouting report on him. I knew he was a good athlete and an okay scorer. But, I've watched him grow even this year, the confidence driving right. But he had a step back in the fourth quarter, two dribbles going left. He had a paint penetration where Big stepped up to him. He threw a bounce pass, I think, to Chris for a dunk or Willie Cauley-Stein. He knocked down big, big shots. This guy's done just one heck of a job. And you know what, John? He may not be choice A for some teams looking for a wing player as we approach the trade deadline. But I think he's got to be on everybody's board. It's a comfortable contract to deal with. And we'll see what happens. And if he stays, it's all the better for the Warriors for the future if they can keep him. So he's really played terrific basketball.
Yeah, and I've been impressed with his handle and his ability to pass. A couple of things you mentioned that are maybe a little better than expected. And boy, he was working his tail off trying to contain Damian Lillard under some circumstances where Damian Lillard just becomes uncontainable, right? I mean, Damian Lillard's got that mode almost like Steph where it doesn't matter what you do.
John, indicative of what you just said was that fourth, I think it was the fourth quarter where he was on the right side and he made, I'm talking about Dame, he made that one dribble inside the three, and then he made a monster step back. And Burks was right there. I mean, you just could not have played it any better. Hands fully extended vertical, and he knocked down the shot. And I thought it was the best shot of the entire night. So, you know, he gets handed the responsibility to guard them. And I don't know that it was I'd put any blame on him. That was just a masterful effort. John, here's what Steve Kerr did. Big enters the ball for Portland. Don't guard him. Take our big and the guy guarding Dame, double team him. See if we can deny the entry. Okay, now, ball gets inbounded. You put a hit on him in the backcourt, meaning you leave somebody in the backcourt, put a hit on him there. You put a hit on him at midcourt. You might designate a particular guy or somebody coming back in transition. On any dribble handoff, or any pick and roll, they tried to double team him. Nothing worked. That's how effective he was. I mean, I thought it was a nice job by the players on the floor and by the coaches. They just faced a guy who was having, you know, a spectacular night.
John Dickinson and Gary St. Jean, Warriors Weekly Podcast here, 495.7 The Game. Talking all things Warriors, and Draymond Green has been out. He's had the finger sprain, and he wasn't feeling well the other night after shoot-around, so he was suited up because the Warriors had eight guys plus him, kind of an emergency situation type of a deal where he could have played, but didn't. But the one thing that's opened up again has been his absence has really led to the reemergence of Eric Paschal finding his offensive game. And the one thing that's really stood out, and we've talked a lot about this on the pregame shows and the postgame shows, I know the Warriors have tried to figure out a way to play him and Draymond together, figure out a way that maybe Paschal can play the three, but really Paschal seems to me to be, I know, a little undersized, but maybe not so much in today's day and age. He seems to be a four-man to me, just first and foremost, and almost, you know, hey, you got something there if he's playing the four compared to the three. Give me your thoughts on just the positional fit for Eric Paschal and if you're kind of seeing that the way I am.
Yeah, John, I that's his best position for me. I just think that I'm going to give him 6'7". and probably 240, between there, 240 and 50. And with that said, it's a strong body, and he has great hands and very, very good feet. He's been very well coached in terms of fundamentals. So the more that he can grow in terms of making the three-point shot, I'll make a prediction to you, Chad. I think as time goes on, he won't be as much a jump shooter on the three ball as he is now. But right now, he's making a solid percentage so that during the course of the game, the bigger, taller fours are running out at him. He's got a very good up fake, and you better watch out when he puts it on the floor. Because when he puts it on the floor, he can bully ball you and chest bump you and finish at the rim. He can quick jump you and get a dunk. He can penetrate and pitch to teammates. So this is where I love him. And then he also has a mid-range game, and he can beat fours up and down the floor. So with that said, I love him at that position. And the key, the last couple of games for me, John, and his dad, a quick one, his dad loves to call him and make note of how many rebounds he gets.
And, right.
You know, I think he had 13 or whatever, two games ago, and had 9 the other night, and playing about 30 minutes, that's a board every 3 minutes. And that's what we use as a measurement stick for your fours and fives. If they can get a rebound every 3 minutes, now they're really productive for you. I think he's growing defensively. So I think you're right on, John. I think that's his spot.
Yeah, and I know the Warriors are thin at the three spot, so it makes sense to give him a look there. But I just start to project him, you know, on next year's team. And look, Draymond Green's going to be the starter, and Draymond Green just signed a contract extension. And the Warriors believe that with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green as a core, you know, that they've got something there that's going to be, you know, the beginnings of a really, really good team, all healthy next year. But I almost view Pascal, as I start to pencil him in, as, you know what, just play him 20 minutes at the four. And you know what? If Draymond needs to play some five, I'd almost rather see them play a little bit of small ball four and five together than trying to play three and four together. And Pascal also gives you a guy that if you need to rest Draymond or keep him fresh throughout the course of the season, he almost just becomes a plug-and-play option there, where you're almost piggybacking the two while at the same time trying to maybe develop Pascal into a future replacement for him.
John, you could give that speech to the crew in the front office as well as the coaching staff. I think you're spot on, and that's the way I see it. And, you know, he's got a bright future. And a couple things. One, he's so mature. You know, 4 years of college, he's a terrific guy. Tonight we'll see Utah. He grew up and played with Mitchell, and Mitchell's a quality guy. So the role will evolve, but I agree with what you said. I like the 4-5 combo with him and Draymond. And the better he plays, the more his minutes will go up. Players tell you who to play and when to play him because of their performance. And I see this guy just keep getting better and better and better. The other thing, too, John, is, you know, I'll give you a quick example. The other night they went to him off the left elbow at a neat situation in the last, I don't know, last minute or two of the game. Little subtle things. When you get an isolation, the closer you are, the quicker you are to the rim. The further away, it allows the defense to rotate when you put it on the floor. He caught it at 19 instead of 15. And with his power, you do your work early to catch the ball at 15, and then you can put it on the floor, one dribble and power. And little subtle things. And then he had to settle for a 17-foot jump shot. But I, you know, those are things that they're going to point out to him as he goes forward. But he's refound, I think, what we were all looking at in the, first 15 games, saying, wow, this guy's doing terrific. Well, a little setback with the hip injury and that kind of thing. He's found his stride again.
What's gotten into Jordan Poole? He completely changed the game against Orlando after the Warriors got down 13-0. I mean the confidence. I know we've talked about this, and he's got confidence. We know that, yeah. And he had confidence coming in, but it's a different. It looks like the game slowed down. It looks like it's a different level of confidence since he's returned from the G League. It almost feels like he believes he's an NBA player now, or maybe he was starting to question that before because the success just wasn't there for him.
I'll use another word, humility. I think he got humbled by playing against in the NBA. The pace of the game, he was hurried. He took some ill-advised shots. He wasn't real good on defense. The team was decimated by injuries, so Steve didn't have anywhere to turn. He kept putting them out there, and it was a snowball going down the hill. It was growing into a big snowman. And just what the doctor ordered, he gets sent down there, and you know, it's kind of like going in the principal's office and said, "Hey, we're gonna have you go stand in the corner over here, Johnny." And with that said, he goes down there. He has to travel a couple games, and they're going commercial, and they're playing staying in a Motel 6, and maybe have an old school bus. It takes you back, and you say, "Wow, you know what? I better respect this. I better listen." And I think he now has big eyes. Smart people listen, and he's listening now. And I love that he's not rushing anything. As you noted, John, there's a pace to an NBA game and a rhythm to the game. He was trying to play too fast, and he's now found a nice pace. I'll say this, John, as he grows older, he's got to get in the weight room this summer because defensively it'll really help him. And you saw three times in the last game, twice he got pancaked, meaning shot block was so strong it put him on the floor. And you know what? Here's a technique. When you go against a shot blocker like Gobert tonight, you've got to lead with your inside shoulder, your left shoulder if you're a righty. You've got to attack the shot blocker and establish contact. You don't establish contact, he's going up. He's going up, 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 and he's going a lot higher than you. And that's how you get a Spalding sandwich right in your schnozola.
Yeah, and he's had that happen to him a couple of times this year. So I think that's a good point. You know, one other player I wanted to ask about, just because of the injury news that came out of that Clippers-Dallas game last night with the Mavs losing Dwight Powell to just a devastating injury, an Achilles injury. Compare his game to Willie Cauley-Stein. And look, I'm not trying to ship Willie out at all or anything like that, but I do think it's an interesting position the Warriors are in with all of the veteran role players that were brought in to try and make a playoff run this year. I put Burks and Glenn Robinson III, and I even Cauley-Stein, although he has a team option for next year. But it's at a pretty minimal amount, you know, very close to the veteran's minimum for his being in his fifth season. But I think Dallas is going to need to get a big man, and just kind of compare, you know, is that a potential fit? Is Cauley-Stein's game similar to Powell's, different? Give me your feel on that.
Well, the one thing that the two of them have in common is their pick and roll. Offensively, they both run it very well. They both have very, very good hands. Now, Willie Cauley-Stein isn't as strong as Powell. I give Powell a debate with me, John. I give him 6'9", maybe, on a good day. And Willie Cauley-Stein's pushing 7 feet. And Willie Cauley-Stein made a play the other night, I think, was as good as we've seen all year, that shot block that he had at a key time in the game. And when you see him do certain things, you want him to do them on a more consistent basis. And he kind of teases you. Now, Powell is like a key guy. They called him today one of their soldiers. He's not a captain. He's not a general. He's one of the soldiers. And he brings it every day. He's got great character, great effort level. You know, a Stanford guy. He's really established himself there. They're in a little bit of a bind because you don't have that. You can file for that injury exception.
Yeah,
with
it's
the league.
It's too late. They missed it by a week,
by a day, one or 2 days. So that I don't know that that'd be a big issue, but you know they're really aware of their salary cap structure down there. My old pal Donnie Nelson and that option that Willie Cauley-Stein has is somewhat prohibitive, I would think, to some other teams. But, yeah, you're talking about players that fill a role and on their teams that are very similar for each team.
Yeah, and I mean, Powell's about 6'10", 240. Yeah, Cauley-Stein's a little taller, a little leaner. But and Powell's been a perfect fit. That's a devastating injury for a guy that they just signed to an extension that's, you know, basically going to have to sit out. Anytime you have an injury like that, you know, in the middle of the year, I mean, this is right around the time when DeMarcus Cousins had his Achilles injury a couple of years ago. So it keeps you out this year, but it's going to keep you out half of the next year too, which is, then you're probably not going to even be right until the following year. It's just that's a tough one, and it seems like we've seen more and more of those Achilles in the last 4 or 5 years pop up, and it's you know, obviously Durant the big one as well, but just unfortunate that there's been so many of those in the last. It seems like that injury didn't happen a lot, but the last few years it's happening more and more.
No, you're right on, and you know, the bigger you are, the tougher it is to come back from those. Now Kevin's very lean. Powell's a little bit stronger. And, you know, we'll see how he's able to come back. They've made a lot of progress with that surgery. But I go way back to Dominique Wilkins. And, you know, the high flyer. And, you know, he was legendary. He had to reinvent his game. And he played great afterwards. He went on to play with the Celtics for a while and played really well. And it's a tough injury. And, you know, a lot of times it's nobody even around you, and it just pops. And I've been on the floor, and I've heard it. You can hear it. It's like a gun going off. And, you know, you feel for the guy because, you know, they're having a heck of a year. If anything, John, you bring up that point about replacing him. People were saying what they were coveting was one more, like a Burks, a 15-point scorer, a consistent 15-point scorer. To go, because Porzingis comes back last night in the game against the Clippers, plays pretty good. But, you know, they're going to need him to step up his game. But look at Doncic. My gosh. I mean, you know, him going against Kawhi. Kawhi's been unbelievable in the last 10 games. We got a lot of good things going on in the East and the West. You know, each has their own stories, and there's some great ones in there.
How excited are you, Saint, to see Zion Williamson finally play? He's going to make his debut tonight against the Spurs. The Pelicans, any other year, they'd be cooked as far as the playoff race goes, but I'm looking at it right now. They are 17-27, but they're only 3.5 out of that eighth spot where Memphis has got it at 3 under .500 right now. I mean, if he's able to play and give them an infusion, they've got some win now talent in addition to their young players. How excited are you to see him one, and could they actually make a run at that eighth spot in your mind too?
John, I just hope. I'm hoping and praying he can stay healthy. This is a unique talent. You know, he's a much bigger Charles Barkley. You just look at him and you say, wow, what, you know, he's so powerful, and can the body take that pounding? And I love him as a kid, you know, being a young guy, being interviewed. He's humble and smiling all the time, and he's going to be great for the NBA. John, they was a 13-game losing streak. That's where they are, and they've had a lot of injuries, but Ingram has really emerged. I'm a big Holiday guy. You and I talked about him. I love Drew Holiday. He's their glue guy. And Ball has played better. And, you know, if this guy can play, the word in the NBA is that New Orleans has arguably the easiest schedule, one of the easiest schedules in the entire league, and especially for those running in that playoff race with Memphis, San Antonio, and them. Memphis has been on a roll. Morant playing fabulous, but yet the other night, New Orleans goes in there and spanks them by 30. So it's going to be, you know, you got Pop and those veterans and Aldridge and DeRozan, and you're saying, well, can they put it together and that kind of thing? That's going to be, you know, a couple young teams against that veteran team. Let's see what happens for, you know, that last spot.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And San Antonio, I'm looking at them. They're 19-23, and obviously they've got the long streak of making it. You know, going back 22 years, and they've just let some real bad games get away. They've actually been playing a lot better as well the last couple of weeks, but they let the game, they had a lead against Atlanta about 6-7 points in the final minute or so, and let that game get away.
That.
They ended up losing on a three. They let Cleveland do the same thing to them about a month ago. They've had some games where they could actually already maybe be at 500 or even slightly above, but those little swing games against some of those lesser opponents have really hurt them. I'm interested to see what they do. It sounds like they're, you know, they could be looking at maybe trying to deal a DeRozan, but at the same time, you know, they've got the playoff streak, but this isn't anywhere close to the Spurs team that we've seen in recent memory.
No, because you're talking about, you know, DeRozan and Aldridge and Gay. I mean, those guys are getting up there, and Bellinelli and Mills. I mean, their core for the future are those three guards, you know, Murray and White, and the last one slips my mind, but those guys are the key guys. They're going to go through a big rebuild. My hunch is maybe they do want them to do something, but I don't know that they will. They may go for it one more time. You know, how long does Pop coach? You know, he's going to have the Olympics this summer. I do know that those close losses have probably chased him to his wine cellar.
Yeah.
He's one of the great sommeliers in the NBA. And I just love Pop. And so I'm pulling for him all the time. And you're right. They've lost some games at the they kind of just let get away that could haunt them.
Saint, great stuff as always. Really appreciate it. We'll talk again next week here. Super week. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
A lot going on locally here right now, Saint.
Hey, John, isn't this great, though? Niners back, and what you're – it's just fun. I mean, you get people calling each other. You know, you want to come over and, you know, watch the game, and let you bring this, I'll bring that, and it's kind of like old times, you know. And you know, the Warriors have been the item the last 5 or 6 years. Now we have them coming back. I think that's great. You know, it's great for the Bay Area. We've had a heck of a run with each of the five teams kind of having their window open for opportunities and really making strong runs at championships. It's great. I just love it.
Saint, we'll talk more about that. We'll get your official pick for the game next week, huh? I know you're a Garoppolo guy. Is a longtime
right.
Pats fan.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit more concerned about Tom Brady. But anyway, we'll get into that. John, great to talk to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Saint. That's our Warriors Weekly podcast for this week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.